This is Cradle My Heart Radio with your host, Kim Cotola. Cradle My Heart Radio, preventing abortion and helping those it hurts.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken within, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
And now, Kim Cotola and Cradle My Heart Radio.
Thank you so much for joining us here at Cradle My Heart Radio. I'm Kim Cotola, your host. And, you know, every week we talk about this mission that we have of preventing abortion and helping those whom it has hurt. And it flows, the mission flows out of my own life experience of having lost a child to abortion and knowing firsthand the difficulties that follow in the wake of that decision. There are those who will say that there are no difficulties and that this was my problem, but so much experience over the years has told me so many other stories. And we have one such story to bring to you this time out here on Cradle My Heart Radio. And it represents not just one story, but also, I think, a movement and a much needed aspect of the pro-life outreach to make the church a welcoming place for women who are pregnant and in difficult circumstances. Joining us to tell us about it is Amy Ford, author of A Bump in Life. Amy, welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Hey, Kim. Thank you so much for having me.
So your book is True Stories of Hope and Courage During an Unplanned Pregnancy. Tell us about the inspiration here.
Yeah, well, back in 2008, I had started a small group for young women that are experiencing an unplanned pregnancy, and the amazing testimonials that came from that, whenever we would just encourage them and tell them they can do it, tell them they're going to be a great mom, just speaking life into them, it was amazing to see to hear about the testimonials and even see a transformation happen in their life. By walking with them through the pregnancy and then even after the pregnancy. And so by doing that for many years, the stories just had to be documented. So, which is where A Bump in Life book came from. There are girls that, it's just full of testimonials. So there's girls that are preacher kids that, get pregnant and what God did in their life through, the pregnancy, or it could be girls that are pregnant by rape or girls that find out they're pregnant in jail and had a really rough upbringing, or even birth moms that choose adoption and how they came to that decision, and just so many amazing miracles. And so that's where the book kind of came from, because I kind of had front row seats seeing it all just when we walked through this with these girls. And so it's a great tool for these moms that maybe are on the fence of possibly thinking about getting an abortion. It's definitely something to get in their hands that I've heard girls say that they stayed up all night when they had an abortion scheduled the next day, and they would read it in 4 hours. It's a really easy read, and there would be a story in there that they felt like they could relate to, that was like their, you know, if that girl can do it, then maybe I can do it too. Or if a girl has chosen life and maybe she's just going through depression or just really struggling with what everything's going to look like, it's a great book to just bring her hope and encouragement during that season of just a lot of uncertainties and things like that. I mean, we already know that God's going to take care of them and he's going to take care of the baby, but I know that, and I had an unplanned pregnancy myself, and so I remember all of those fears of just the unknown and what it's going to look like and how am I going to pay my bills and how am I going to be able to go for my dreams now? And of course, God just took care of all of that. But during that, it was a really scary time.
Hmm. How old were you? Tell me some more details of this story in your life, Amy.
Yeah, so I was 19. I had an unplanned pregnancy. I grew up in church, had an amazing family. But I had a boyfriend that I loved, and I started really going to him for my validation instead of going to God for my identity and all of that. So we ended up getting pregnant when I was 19, and I was so terrified of telling my parents that. I just felt like they were going to be so disappointed and ashamed of me, and that they were going to disown me. You know, the enemy lies to you and tells you that your life is over and all of those things. So even though I grew up knowing abortion was wrong, even when I was little, we used to actually march outside abortion clinics and pray for life. When I was little, even though I didn't really understand what it all meant at the time, but I mean, I grew up knowing it was wrong. And in that moment of finding myself pregnant, it became a real option for me where I felt like I had no other choice. And so we scheduled an abortion appointment, and I had really gone into kind of robot mode where I was trying not to feel anything and just trying to get through it. I just knew that if I could just get through the abortion, that I could deal with the consequences of a broken heart later, but I just needed to do it. And so the father of my baby drove me up there. They made him wait in the waiting room. And when I went in to do the sonogram, they told me how far along I was. And really all of those feelings and emotions I had stuffed down for the past few days erupted in that room. And I ended up having an anxiety attack and passing out in the abortion room. And when I came to, they had nurses, you know, fanning me, trying to give me a drink of water. And I do believe I had a nurse that actually did care. She said, "You're too emotionally distraught to make this decision today. You can come back another day, but today you're not getting an abortion." And so I walked back out in the waiting room. My face was so swollen from crying so hard. And I just told the father of my baby, I said, "We're still pregnant." And we just decided in that moment that we would just see what happens. We'll just deal with the consequences. If we're going to be homeless, we'll be homeless together. And we had been together for our whole high school, so we already knew we wanted to get married and all of that. So I ended up getting married when I was 16 weeks pregnant. And but with that, we asked the pastor that had led my husband to the Lord years prior. We asked him if he would marry us on that day, and he said that he couldn't marry us because we had sinned, and so that he couldn't bless the marriage. And it just felt like so much shame. I carried so much shame in this, like, scarlet letter, and we ended up finding someone else. You know, our youth pastor married us, which it ended up working out, but the person that we loved and looked up to so much said that to us, and it was just so hard. And we tried going to church a few times after that, but it's like all of my friends that I would talk to on a regular basis all of a sudden wouldn't talk anymore. And it's like the elephant in the room. People don't know whether to say congratulations or I'm sorry, so they just don't say anything. And then you're just kind of alone. Even though I got married, I still felt completely alone. But a couple of years later, that pastor did call my husband out of the blue, and he asked for forgiveness. And he said that he felt like it was the worst mistake he had ever made in pastoring history, and he just wanted to ask that we would forgive him. And of course my husband said yes, and now to this day we're really good friends with him. He's a pastor in Austin, Texas, and he actually had me come speak last year on Mother's Day to his congregation. I preached, and he was very open with his whole congregation and told them what all had happened years before, because this is now, it's been almost 18 years ago. And he told everyone, and he said that he felt like he had a religious heart and a Pharisee heart, and he had said that he was really ashamed of what he had done, but he knew that God had forgiven him. And all of us, like, there was just so many just healing and everything. But what was really cool was at the very end, after I got done preaching, he asked me and my son to go up there, which my son was 16 at the time. And he said, "You know, I asked your husband a long time ago for forgiveness, but I didn't really ask you. And I want to ask you in front of this whole body of Christ, will you please forgive me for what I did?" And of course I said yes. And then he looked at my son and he said, "Will you forgive me for rejecting you before you were ever even born, and for planting seeds of rejection in your heart before you were ever even born?" And my son, 16 years old, in front of the whole congregation said, "I forgive you." And it was such a powerful moment. I could feel church wounds lifted in that whole congregation. It was just beautiful to see. And now my son, he speaks a lot for youth and stuff. And the other day they had asked him to speak on something he was an overcomer for. He got to speak for 5 minutes. And so he went up there and said that he was an overcomer before he was ever even born, and that Satan had plans to take out his life, but that he was an overcomer. And I just love that he looked at it that way, that he is an overcomer. So it's pretty cool to see what God's done through that. And then Embrace Grace was launched really because of that whole season.
Well, you know, Amy Ford is our guest. She's the author of A Bump in Life and the founder of the Embrace Grace Ministry. And I do definitely want to give you the chance to talk about this outreach. But I want to share a story, too, Amy, because I'm aware of a couple that had a very different outcome, although things started out the same way. So they became pregnant. They were both in college. They got pregnant. They went to the brother of the young man, and he was very strong in faith. And he said, absolutely, I'll talk with my pastor and you guys will get married. Yes. I'm so glad you want to do the right thing. We're going to, you know, great, a baby. And this pastor refused to marry them. Well, they didn't have an alternative, you know, unlike you, they felt they didn't have anybody else to ask, was so shattered by it that he walked away from the church, you know, and so, and the ripples are still being felt.
Right.
And when we think about how simple it would be for that never to have occurred, I don't mean to slam pastors. I think pastors need help from the body of Christ.
Yeah.
We have put too much responsibility on them. And so what I see through Embrace Grace is, you know, a support and a way for the pastor to know that the church isn't going to turn on him if he does the right thing in supporting this couple, you know, because
right.
It's all of us. It's not just a pastor. So talk about the vision for Embrace Grace.
Yeah. So that is our heart, that we want the church to be one of the first places a girl runs to instead of the last because of shame and guilt. And we want to make them feel like it's a safe place. We call it a pro-love movement, where that's where the body of Christ steps in and says, we're going to walk alongside you and help you along the way. You know, there's a lot of churches that say they're pro-life, but then when a girl chooses life, sometimes they'll just say, good luck with that. Hope it works out for you. I don't really have a place for you here. Can you come back in 9 months? I've heard kids are kicked out of youth group. I mean, so many stories that I've heard. And it's not our actions don't match up to what our words are saying. You know, we can talk about being pro-life until we're blue in the face, but without love, we're just a clanging cymbal. And so we want the love to be where the action is. You know, these girls are in a place in their life where they desperately need a miracle. They need support. They need someone to speak life words into them. They're so scared and nervous. And so it's a great opportunity for them to try church and try God. And so we started a 12-week curriculum that is for churches to implement that is called Embrace Grace. So they can find Embrace Grace support groups in their area, and they have a baby shower. And a lot of times the baby shower might be just what gets them in the door. But then once they are there, God just completely changes their life. It's hard sometimes, though, to get them to get in the door. Sometimes it's like pulling teeth to just really encourage them. We have all of our leaders texting them saying, just be brave, just try it. And we promise it's not going to be weird and you can leave if you don't like it. But they feel like once they come, they'll say things like, I thought that this was going to be a place where y'all tell me that I'm going to hell, or y'all tell me that I screwed up my life, or that y'all tell me that I'm such a horrible person. And so that's, to me, I know that a lot of the unchurched feel like that's what church is. They think it's about behavior modification when it should be about a heart transformation. And so, but once they come, all of our leaders are very purposeful for the first class to just share their own stories. So we don't even really ask much from them. We want them to know that we all have a story too, and that there's nothing that they can say that will shock us or kick them out or anything. All those things that they feel like what church is, we want them to see that God, we have stories too, and we still constantly every day have stories, but that God does miracles in our lives. So they start to see, okay, well, if that's that leader's story, then maybe I can share mine. And if God did that for that woman, then maybe God can do that for me too. And so their walls start coming down, and then it's just amazing after that, the whole 11 weeks after that first class, what God starts doing in their hearts. And the transformations and the salvations, and they feel more equipped to be a mom and they meet other girls that are going through the same thing that they are. And so we are now, it started at a church called Gateway Church in Southlake, Texas, and then we started the nonprofit because so many churches were asking us, this is really cool, can you show us how to do it too? And so, and we have DVD curriculum that, you know, churches can just press play and they can watch the whole session for the class. And then they have a guide that correlates with each lesson. Plus the girls get, a study guide. And so we're now in 209 churches in 40 states and 3 countries. We're in U.S., Canada, and Africa. And so it's really cool to see this pro-love movement because this is where the change is happening. This is where we can come alongside them and really help them all through not only the pregnancy, but even afterwards, getting them plugged into a spiritual family and letting them know that they're not alone and that we hope even after they have kids that they still go and they still raise their kids in church and just get we just want them to fall in love with Jesus. With him. We can talk about all the things they shouldn't be doing until we're blue in the face, but when they can really get their identity and their value and their worth through God and not just know it, but really feel it in their heart, like know how much God loves them so very much, that's when all the things they shouldn't be doing become things they just don't want to do anymore because God completely transforms their hearts. And that's what our goal is that we want to introduce them to Jesus and help them fall in love with him.
Amy Ford is our guest here on Cradle My Heart Radio. And Amy, as we're thinking about this, I used to host a general interest talk show in Christian radio on a daily basis, so not just on the pro-life issue as this program is. We would just, we talk about the events in the news and talk about spiritual formation, lots of different things of interest to Christians. And every once in a while, I would throw it out there, I'd make up a scenario of a difficult circumstance in pregnancy, and I would ask callers, call in and tell me what you would do. And very, very few of them knew to say, I would, connect them with a pregnancy center. There is a pregnancy help movement that can offer them everything they need spiritually, physically, emotionally. They can offer them what they actually need. So few Christians still don't know. So few know, so many don't know. And what I love about Embrace Grace is that it provides this conduit. So you're working with pregnancy centers and with churches so that the women feel they have a place in both of those areas where they need, where they can find the support that they need. It's an inspired move. And I think it's really been necessary. I mean, I don't think there's anything else like Embrace Grace out there.
No, I don't think so either. And really our heart is that we want the church to understand too about pregnancy centers and the importance. I heard Pastor Tony Evans say one time that the pregnancy centers are the first response team and the church is the hospital. And so when we can really join together, the pregnancy centers and the churches and our communities and bond together, there's power in numbers. Work together with that. That's where a huge change is happening by the churches and the pregnancy centers really working together. The pregnancy centers are a great referral source to the churches. And it's great to even have several in your community for the pregnancy centers to tell these girls, you know what, there's one down this direction on a Monday night and there's one this way on a Wednesday night, and go get plugged in and meet some friends. And it's just, and then what else is cool is a lot of pregnancy centers do Earn While You Learn or different programs there within the center. So a lot of times they'll use Embrace Grace as another way that they can do Earn While You Learn. So it's, they're calling the church saying, hey, our girl, we sent a girl to you. Did she show up because she wants to use her to get diapers or whatever it is? And so it feels more like we're doing this together and not just the pregnancy centers by themselves. Cause they do so much. They're warring for lives on a daily basis. And so if the church could really step in and say, we want to help you with this, this is where we see the real change.
Mm. So, and has there been any resistance? I mean, are there still some pastors you find that are like the pastors we've discussed, where they feel as though, if I do this, it'll be condoning,
sex outside of marriage, rewarding
or whatever?
Behavior. Yeah. And even at a pregnancy center conference not too long ago, a couple years ago, someone came up to me that was saying that she felt like there are girls that really, really strive to stay pure. And it is really hard, especially in this day and age, to stay pure. And then we're over here throwing a baby shower. She's like, why don't, you know, maybe they could use gently used stuff and maybe they don't deserve brand new. And the Lord immediately gave me the story of the prodigal son. And if you think about how he had two sons and one went off and spent all his dad's money and was with prostitutes and did all this horrible stuff. But then he decided he wanted to come back home. And he just thought, you know, right now I'm eating the leftovers from the pigs, but if I come home, I could have my dad's servants' leftovers. But I know that he probably wouldn't take me back, but I'm going to try to come home. And my favorite part of the story is it says, and when he starts heading home, it says, and while he was a long way off, the father ran to him, and he had his servants put a robe on his back and a ring on his finger. A lot of these girls are a long way off. But the father wants them to just turn home, and he will run to them. And he said, we're going to throw a party. We're going to kill the calf, and we're going to, he didn't say, let's use the leftovers from yesterday. They threw a huge party. And, you know, then there was the other son that was said, Dad, how is this fair? I've served you every day, and I've been like this perfect kid, and you're going to throw him a party after all that you've done. And he said, son, everything that I have is already yours. You have everything that you need in me. So come and let's celebrate that your brother was lost and now he's found and that he's home. And so we're invited to be a part of this redemption process, this process of being able to celebrate when our brothers and sisters, even if they're a long way off, that they've turned to their Heavenly Father and be a part of throwing the parties. I mean, I love throwing parties. I'm a party girl. Like, that is so cool that God is allowing us to be a part of that. And so I just, you know, we can be like the brother and say, you know what, that's fair, he doesn't deserve it. Or we can be like the father and say, let's throw a party, you know. And we are all prodigals in some way and in some point in our lives. And so it's just, you can't argue with what God does in each of these girls' hearts, this transformation. It's not about rewarding bad behavior. It's about loving people.
Well, and, you know, you haven't used the old school terms like repentance and redemption and discipleship, but all of that is what's going on in these groups, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
It's packaged in such a winsome and current way. And again, at the mm-hmm. Heartbeat Conference, I saw your promotional video that says, I came here for peace. We've mm-hmm. only got a couple minutes remaining, but I want you, we'll play the audio from that. And I want you to talk about the inspiration for this video.
I have no room to breathe. No chance of being free. The condemnation palpable. Why is my sin so hard to forgive? Does my visual reminder of the sin I have committed make you fearful of the ones you have hidden? My heart screams for truth while my feet scramble for the door. My eyes on the floor. Skin touches metal and I freeze. I came here for peace, not to flee. Why should I have to run when I've been told of this magnificent son? He is the giver of all life, including the one I have inside. Tiny nails, tender skin, clear eyes. This child was designed. A bearer of truth to bring living proof that God confounds the wise. The heart of the father reflected in his son or daughter. And his or her purpose begins with my bravery. Facing my fears to embrace a bigger destiny. Generation to generation, a change starts with me.
Well, we had actually a girl that was experiencing an unplanned pregnancy wrote the video, and I really just wanted something that felt a little bit more about the identity of each of these babies. There's so many great videos right now that are out there that are so fluffy and sweet, and babies are a blessing, which they totally are, but I wanted something about the power that God puts inside each person as a baby, that we are... These babies are future world changers, and that God has an amazing purpose for each of these babies and mom's life. So I wanted something that was super powerful that can only be within a minute. And what's so great too is that we reached out, we were looking for someone that would really have that power in her voice. And T.D. Jakes, I'm not sure if y'all are familiar with Bishop T.D. Jakes, he's so amazing here in Dallas area, and his daughter Cora, She reached out to us and said, I really want to be a part of this project. And so she is the lead in this. She's the voice behind it. And she did such a great job. And I know in their family, her little sister had an unplanned pregnancy, which I know she has books and things about. And so it was very dear to her heart, too, to be able to be a part of Embrace Grace. And they're looking at starting Embrace Grace at the Potter's House, too, which we're really excited about.
Amy, I just thank you for being obedient to God's call on this and also for joining us to be our guest here on Cradle My Heart Radio. If you want to know more about Amy's ministry, we have it all linked at cradlemyheart.org. You could also visit I Embrace Grace online. Amy Ford, thanks for being our guest today.
Okay, thank you so much.
Now stay with us. Coming up here on Faith Radio, we will take your calls. We'll open up the phones and talk about the life issues in the news this week. 1-800-811-3003 here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
Safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion.
This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken again, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
Good evening, and thank you so much for being with us here this on this edition of Cradle My Heart Radio. I'm Kim Cotola, and I'm ready to hear from you. Amy Ford's story was one that it may be familiar to you. When a couple decides to do the right thing, the pastor may not be on board. And that could have been a really dire consequence for Amy. And it was so encouraging to hear that the pastor circled back and apologized. I would love to give you a chance to share your story of how a pastor influenced your decisions and your decision-making process during an unplanned pregnancy. Phones are open tonight at 1-800-811-3003, 1-800-811-3003. I have heard hundreds of stories over the last decade of women and men and what influenced them and what pressures they faced and what went into that decision. And I would say a good 30 to 40%, it's anecdotal, I don't have research on this, but I would say a good 30 to 40% have shared with me that a pastor either said it was the best thing in a difficult circumstance and promoted abortion to them in that way, not necessarily saying it was a good thing, but it was perhaps a necessary evil. Or they will talk about a rule or a policy in place in a Christian high school or college where pregnant students are not allowed, which put a great deal of pressure on a young woman who felt she needed to complete her education. What's your story? Was there a person of faith, and a clergy person even, that impacted the decision? 1-800-811-3003. And I ask this question not to bash clergy, but to say that it's a common experience, and it can be overcome. And I think the reason that I want to discuss it is because, you know, getting the story expressed, speaking it out loud, sharing it with someone, of course you can share anonymously here or with a pseudonym, is the first step to really being able to accept it and to heal and to be encouraged and affirmed that you're not alone and that, you know, that pastor wasn't infallible. But that can be forgiven, whether or not the pastor ever seeks forgiveness. 1-800-811-3003. So we'll give you a chance to share your story. We do have a pro-life resource, and we have Amy Ford's book, A Bump in Life. And as she said, it's an easy read, and it's full of stories of as the subtitle says, True Stories of Hope and Courage During an Unplanned Pregnancy. 1-800-811-3003. We have one copy of Amy Ford's book for our first caller to share a story or just say hello at 1-800-811-3003. And if that goes right away, we also have some other resources. And this one is one that's really dear to my heart. It's written by Ruth Graham and Sarah Dorman, and it's called I'm Pregnant, Now What? Heartfelt Advice on Getting Through an Unplanned Pregnancy. And it tells the story of Ruth's daughter, Windsor, and her unplanned teen pregnancy and how Ruth navigated those waters as her mother. And it's a beautiful story, and it's a testament to Ruth's mothering. And she would tell you that it was a very difficult time for her because, of course, when you're a mother and your teenager comes home pregnant, you feel like, you know, you've failed in some measure. But the important thing is what happens next. And Windsor most certainly did the right thing, giving birth and releasing that child for adoption. The right thing for her was to release for adoption, but the right thing was to choose life. 1-800-811-3003. So those are our resources tonight. Amy Ford's A Bump in Life and Ruth Graham and Sarah Dorman's I'm Pregnant, Now What? 1-800-811-3003. And here's one of the shorter stories from A Bump in Life. And these, again, are true stories of courage and hope in an unplanned pregnancy. This one is written in the form of a letter. And it's titled Olivia. And the letter reads, To my beautiful baby girl, I don't even know what to say. I've never felt so much love for someone as I do for you now. You were just born today. I can finally see you and hold you in my arms. Every worry and concern went away the moment I first saw your beautiful face. I burst into tears at the sight of your tiny hands and feet. You're mine. How incredible is that? You're my daughter. How God entrusts me with such an incredible gift makes no sense to me, but I'm so glad he did. While I was pregnant with you, she writes, I'm not going to lie, I was scared. I mean, I was that girl, the teen mom. I was scared to face all the stares, whispers, challenges of being a single mom. Even with all of these worries, though, I was in love with you the second I found out I was pregnant. The thing I was most scared about was providing you a great life. How could I provide that for you? How would you grow up with an example of a godly marriage and family with me as your mom? I can't tell you that I have everything figured out even now, but I can tell you that God has everything planned and under control. Don't ever forget that, Layla. God has you in the palm of his hand. Trust in him always. Through all of this, I've been more in love with you than I thought possible. When I saw you today, that love grew even more. I promise to be the best mother I can possibly be. I'll be there when you're sick, when some loser breaks your heart, when you get an A+ on your spelling test, and any other time, I will always be here. I'll be the arms to crawl into when you're hurt, and I'll be your biggest fan throughout your whole life. I'll make many mistakes as your mom, and I know I won't always be your favorite person, but you will always be mine. I can't wait to see the amazing plans God has for you. I pray your relationship with him is close, real, and intimate. I pray you'll know his grace and mercy. You're my love. You are so incredibly beautiful. You're my life. I'm so excited for this journey as mother and daughter will be taking together. I love you so much, my beautiful baby Layla. Love, Mommy. Oh, I'll tell you, I'm a new grandmother. Our Lucy was born just about 3 weeks ago, and reading such a touching tribute from a brand new mommy's heart is just really moving to me. Children come with their own world of love. They bring with them a world of love. And it's always true. 1-800-811-3003 if you'd like to get a copy of Amy Ford's A Bump in Life. 1-800-811-3003. You have to join us on the air. Say hello. Leave a question or comment with us. Or tell your story. We'd love to hear how clergy influenced your decision and decision-making process during an unplanned pregnancy. Or a story of someone that you're aware of. And of course, again, we respect anonymity and privacy, so you don't need to give names if you prefer not to. Let's go to the phones now and say hi to Jean. Welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Hi, Kim. I'm a longtime fan of yours.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that.
And really appreciate what your program. I have kind of a complicated story. I'll try and shorten it up. But this is back from 1940, and it's the story of my mother. She was a 20-year-old nursing student in the religious hospital nursing program, and she was just a fantastic student and was coming up on her graduation and won a scholarship to go on to grad school in nursing. She and her boyfriend found out that they were pregnant within just a few weeks before graduation, and when the school administration found out, when they saw her marriage, they decided to marry. They found out that the school administration took everything away from her. She wasn't allowed to finish school and took away her scholarship and took away even her cape. She ended up marrying that young man, and they ended up having 11 children. That man is my father, and she's my mother. And we had a wonderful life. And my mother went on to finish her nursing degree. After a few years, she went back to the administration and kind of said, you know, this wasn't right. And she ended up getting to finish nursing program. She ended up going back and working at that same hospital and loved that hospital and gave her all to them, had I think she had all of her children at that hospital. And one of her reunion lunches, she sat next to the woman that got her scholarship, that they had awarded the scholarship. And that woman ended up being a nurse, a nun, who went on to become the administrator of that hospital, and actually went on, and I believe she ended up becoming our state's health commissioner at one time.
Wow.
And I just am amazed at how God worked the details of that. Now, at this luncheon, that woman sat next to my mom and said, "I always felt bad about what happened, and I was wondering if there was anything we could ever do to make that up to you." And she said to my mom, and my mother said, "You know, I always wanted my cape back." And within a few weeks, my mother found a box in her garage, and there was her cape. And I just recently saw an article in the paper about this woman that got this position and how far she went and everything. And I thought about what my mother had done and what this woman had done. And I looked at the woman, and she even looked like, the picture looked like my mother. And I thought, oh, God, you redeemed so much. And my mother never held a grudge. And this woman of God made it as right as she could to my mother. So I just wanted to share that.
What a beautiful story. Oh, I have tears in my eyes. You know, these situations are not unique to our generation, are they, Jean?
No, they aren't. And I'm just so glad my mother chose life. She could have chosen very differently, and then I wouldn't be here, and my 8 kids wouldn't be here. So I want to share that story.
It's a beautiful story. So how did your mother share that with you? How did you come to know the story?
Little bits were shared along the way. She was not, she was honest about her faults and frailties and sinfulness, and she wanted better for her kids. But those little bits and pieces came out, and then when she was older in life, she told us more of it. And then after her death, then this article was in the paper, and I was able to put these things together. And I actually was out to dinner with, it turned out that my husband's uncle was health commissioner just before this woman, and he passed off the baton to her. So our families are actually intertwined in a strange way with this woman, this nun, who was a real peacemaker and consensus maker, and not a politician that went into this political position with the government at that time. So it's just God is just amazing, God was able to give me the beautiful ending to this story. I wish my mother had been alive to hear all of that. But I got it, and I've told the story. I actually told it the other night to my husband's uncle at a family dinner, and everybody's eyes just kind of popped open, like, oh my, this is beautiful the way, you know, God took someone's sin and said, I'm working in this whole thing. So I just wanted to share it with you.
It's lovely, and thank you for sharing it. And stay on the line so we can get your address, and we'll send you out a copy of Amy Ford's book, A Bump in Life. And I love the fact that Jean's story, thank you, Jean. I love the fact that Jean's story shows the goodness and the kindness of clergy, because I think this is the overriding thing that we need to remember, is that, you know, what an impossible job those who are in this position are in these days. Pastors, nuns, Christian counselors, and school counselors and teachers, just the pressures that they face and the lives that are on the line and in their care, extremely, extremely difficult. And the reason why we would discuss, you know, how clergy may have influenced a decision is because, you know, as Jean's story illustrates, there is often another chapter to the story, even if, you know, someone who had a moral authority, a position of moral authority, whether it was clergy or a teacher or whomever, whether they acted with mercy, whether they acted in a way that modeled Christian love, there's always another chance and more to the story if we keep our hearts soft and open and refuse to go into unforgiveness and bitterness. More of your stories and how to pray. How to pray after abortion? I get that question as much as any other. 1-800-811-3003. We'll talk about that coming up.
A safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
The phone lines are open, and we do have another pro-life resource for you tonight if you'll call and share a story with us. 1-800-811-3003. Perhaps you are a member of clergy. Perhaps you are somebody who's in a position of authority, and you've been brought into a situation and had to make, you know, a choice or render a judgment that required the wisdom of Solomon. We'd love to hear your story. 1-800-811-3003. 1-800-811-3003. I can tell you that in my journey, I was very far from God when I made the choice for abortion at age 23. And it took me many, many years to get back to church. It took me many, many years to be able to discuss it openly. But the pastors whom I was able to counsel with were wonderful and absolutely modeled God's mercy for me. So I don't have an axe to grind with this question. I just know and heard from someone recently that a pastor told them that they should go ahead and have the abortion in order to, and I think sometimes this happens in the same way that, you know, when a parent will advise for abortion, if someone is young especially, or if someone feels, you know, that the person has been abandoned to her circumstances, abortion may feel like a protective choice. It's going to protect her economic future or protect her reputation. And I understand where those emotions come from, and that impulse is most certainly good. But in the aftermath and in the reconciliation, there can be a longing in the heart for better advice to have been given, for more wholesome support to have been offered. And so we'll just give you the opportunity to share how you were influenced by people of faith around you at that time during an unplanned pregnancy. 1-800-811-3003. And our pro-life resource for our next caller is I'm Pregnant Now What? And it's a story of Ruth Graham's daughter, Windsor, and her journey through unwed motherhood and releasing that child for adoption with the help of Sarah Dorman, with whom Windsor had residential care. 1-800-811-3003. And if you know anything about Ruth Graham, I traveled for years with Ruth in conference ministry, and her heart just shines through in the pages of this book, and it's a very, very encouraging read. The subtitle is Heartfelt Advice on Getting Through an Unplanned Pregnancy. One of the things that I hear, and you know, I focus on the spiritual aspect of the choice for abortion as well as the spiritual aftermath, because these were really the problems that I had. And yes, there were emotional difficulties too. Unresolved feelings of guilt, unresolved feelings of sadness, unresolved relationship issues. And I, you know, became a self-help junkie. I would read all these different books, always trying to get at the emotional problems. But I can tell you that my emotions healed when the spiritual problem was resolved. And the spiritual problem was that choice alienated me from God. And as always happens, God wasn't the one who moved. I was. But, you know, I was thrust into this position of feeling ashamed of what I had done, because I knew that I was the stronger party. And although I didn't have the support that I needed, it wasn't fair or just to take the life of another human being to protect myself. And especially when I was the strong one and the unborn child, the weaker one, I couldn't conceive of it in those terms at the time. You know, it took a lot of processing and a lot of help to be able to understand it in those terms. But spiritually, that is what happened. And spiritually, of course, we know there's a resolution, because we know we're forgiven in Christ. And what we need to do is repent and receive the forgiveness already accomplished for us by his precious blood on the cross. But, you know, recently I heard from someone with a lament that I was subject to, and you know, this person was saying, I don't know how to pray. I feel so far from God and I don't know how to pray. And there's a beautiful article about that. It's called 8 Things to Pray When You Need New Words. And it's on the BibleStudyTools.com website. We've got it linked at our Facebook page. And they say that, you know, one of the best things that you can do is pray through passages of scripture, or pray the words of hymns or contemporary modern music. You can pray while journaling. You know, you can write your prayers as your journal. And I have found this to be really helpful too. As random or rambling as they may be, as the author of the Bible Study Tools article says, and I agree, writing them down helps me focus on what I'm saying and process through the emotions. And an added bonus is that you're able to look back over them and see how the Lord has answered those prayers over time. But I know too, from the research that's out there, that if your experience was traumatic, writing is one of the very best ways to heal emotional trauma, emotional and spiritual trauma. So please don't discount that as a thought and a way to start in prayer if you're feeling stuck and as though you can't pray. Pray as you dwell on one word. It may be the word peace. It may be the word mercy. It may be the word grace. Pray in questions. And, you know, I for many years, used the ACTS acrostic, A-C-T-S, A-C-T-S, with the A standing for adoration. So you begin by just worshiping God and extolling his virtues and his attributes. Then C stands for confession. You get really honest about what it is that's been separating you from God. T stands for thanksgiving, which is separate from praise and worship. Thanksgiving expresses your gratitude for God's favor and goodness to you. And then supplication is where you make your request. It's a really simple blueprint to follow, but very, very meaningful. And again, to combine that with writing is very powerful. ACTS, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. And when we talk about praying through the scriptures, this article suggested, and I have to agree, Psalm 6 is a wonderful one to pray, particularly after a problem like abortion. Psalm 6 says, Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your wrath. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I am faint. Heal me, Lord, for my bones are in agony. My soul is in deep anguish. How long, Lord? How long? Turn, Lord, and deliver me. Save me because of your unfailing love. Among the dead no one proclaims your name. Who praises you from the grave? I'm worn out from my groaning. All night long I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch with tears. My eyes grow weak with sorrow. They fail because of all my foes. Away from me, all you who do evil, for the Lord has heard my weeping. The Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer. All my enemies will be overwhelmed with shame and anguish. They will turn back and suddenly be put to shame. It's a beautiful prayer from Psalm 6, and I hope that it's encouraged you just listening to it. Thank you so much for being with us tonight, and I hope that you can plan to make Cradle My Heart Radio part of your weekend plans every week, because we are here to encourage you in faith, to give you a chance to share your story, and above all, to help you to know that you are not alone. And that if our hearts condemn us, God does not. Jesus said he came not to condemn the world, but to save the world from sin. That's in John 3:17, and it's true. And he also said in John 6:37 that anyone who comes to him, he will never reject. Remember, Jesus loves you, and so do we. To learn more, go to cradlemyheart.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.